Welcome to episode 11 of the Main Line of Beyond with Mark Singer. Tonight's guest is Viztone recording artist Mikey Jr. We get into some deep discussion about music, musical roots, where we met, upcoming stuff for Mikey, including the Bucks County Blues Festival. You're really going to enjoy this show. Thanks again for tuning in. Hey, how's everyone doing? Evening. We got Mikey. We got Midas. This guy's, it's going to be hard to separate. It's like your mascot all of a sudden, man.
Oh, nice. Here we go. Okay, I'm sharing.
Mikey's sharing the live
feed. Here we go, y'all.
Part of what I like about this is, you know, how laid back and casual it is. You know what I mean? So we're just getting going here. It is Monday the 13th, I believe. And we're out here at Ardmore, PA, episode 11 of The Main Line Beyond with Mark Singer. The focus of the show is music, the local music scene. We got a great response. We've been we're booked up all the way till September. Quite a few people that, you know, are trying to hopefully get on the show sooner rather than later. But it's cool. We've been doing this right here from my home in Ardmore, and there's a lot going on. You know, I like to talk a little bit about what's coming up this week in music. And for my band, Steal Your Peach, it's a big one. We have a show Friday night, St. Paddy's Day at the Ardmore Music Hall.
Yep.
And we got Ron Holloway on sax as our special guest. It's surreal, and it's crazy. I've lost count of how many shows we've done either with Ron as our guest or co-bills with his own band, which I miss doing because his band is just unbelievable, funk powerhouse. This guy is one of the best in the world, and it's just, and not only that, he's just a great hand, great person. So, real excited, and we're paying homage to the 50th anniversary of the Watkins Glen Summer Jam, which was the Allman Brothers, the Grateful Dead, and the band, which you're into the band.
I'm into all of them.
You are, you are.
But I love the band, yes.
And I didn't really, know that or expect that when I found that out.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
Yeah, man, love the band. It's been for me and my wife's family, we watch The Last Waltz every Christmas. Like, it's what we do. Christmas morning, we go over, we have breakfast, and we'll put The Last Waltz on. And we do it on Thanksgiving as well, but really Christmas, for some reason, that's what we do on Christmas.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Christmas Day.
Yeah. What a tradition.
Yeah, man, it's cool.
That is cool. Is Bob Margolin on that? I forget.
Yeah, Bob Margolin's on The Last Waltz.
He
plays with Muddy on The Last Waltz.
And you and him are kind of close, right?
Yeah, he's one of the owners of the Viztone label group.
Okay,
yeah,
you did tell me that.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Bob Margolin was Muddy Waters' lead guitar player for most of his time as Electric Band.
Yeah. I think it was from the 70s till Muddy passed, I think.
So was he in, what, Johnny Winter was in that band too?
Yeah, he was, they were there. I mean, he was, when Muddy, he was present for that Woodstock recording with the band, with Lee Vaughn. Remember they did that recording in Woodstock and stuff like that. So he was there for that. But yeah, he was on that, Hard Again album with Johnny Winter and Muddy and all that. So yeah, he's a great dude, man. And he's always got positive things to say and stuff like that
too. That's cool.
Yeah, he's become a friend over the years for sure.
Nice. Yeah. I seen him quite a few times over the years with Pine Top Perkins and Willie Big Eyed Smith at the Delaware Blues Fest.
Yeah, I missed that one, man. I missed that show. I regretfully missed that one. I think they had Hubert Sumlin on one of those too.
That's right.
I went to Austin, Texas one time because I only seen Pine Top Perkins one time live, and I was in Austin, Texas. I had flown in to see a friend of mine, and we went to a bar. It was like 12:30 in the morning on a random Monday night. And I walk in and they're playing, I hear Mojo Working playing. And I just was like beelining it to the bar, didn't even look at the band, because I just came in and just was like, oh, it was, you know, it was busy. I was like, let me get a drink. I finally get my drink. I go sit down and I look up at the stage and I see that Pine Top Perkins just sitting in with this band down there.
Wow.
And I was like, that's Pine Top Perkins. And then they took a break. And
no one even said that Pine Top was there at the time.
No, he was, I don't know. It was midnight on a random Tuesday night and he was in his 90s. Wow. And he's in there playing the blues. And I bought a CD off of him and he had little, you know, like not even eight by tens. It was like I still have it to this day. It was about that big, little photograph of him. Uh-huh. He signed it for me. And he was cool. He smoked this real long cigarettes.
I was just going to say, I saw him up close at when they did the Delaware Blues Fest. They had that after party jams at the hotel or something. And he was like just right there. And he was like smoking a cigar.
Smoking a big cigarette. Yeah. He smoked like the 120s, like, you know, like Marlboro 100s. Like he found a 120 cigarette. It was like this big. That's all I think I remember.
And he still lived to 90 something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think he was even, there's a folklore story that I think is pretty true. I heard that, and I might be getting the story wrong, but I heard that like his car had like a fender bender with a freight train on the way to a McDonald's because he loved McDonald's. Like, okay. Pine Top loved McDonald's. And all right. 90-year-old man, you know, gets hit by a freight train in his car on his way to McDonald's or something. But if you've heard that story, leave the real story in the comments, or just the version that anybody else may have heard of that story, all the blues people that could be listening.
That's heavy. Well, you know, that would be kind of tragic, but probably painless, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Geez, a hit by a train.
Yeah, I hope not. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm glad it didn't go out that way.
Yeah, it was some sort of fender bender or something. I don't know. Mississippi or something. I don't know.
I got you.
Some story I heard a long time ago.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we first met at Warm Daddy's.
Yeah, the old Warm Daddy's on Front and Market Street.
That was the one, yeah.
That was the one, man.
Yeah, we were all upset when it was going down and whatever, but it was never quite the same after, but those were good times.
Those were great times. I loved going there. Tuesday nights, I met so many people there. I met you there. I met Georgie Bonds there, Deb Callahan, Randy Lippincott. I met Jimmy Pritchard. I met my whole band at Warm Daddy's on Front and Market. I met Matt Daniels there. In 05, like years later, right?
I kind of knew that, but you know, I remember when you used to come to the jams, it almost seemed like you had a band together already, but maybe that was just a house band, wasn't
it? Yeah, I guess. Well, I would go every Tuesday night as soon as I found out about it.
Right.
I was addicted to Warm, because they had that warm cornbread. the chicken tenders and the warm cornbread. I was just getting the same thing all the time. that was one of the first bars that had an IPA on tap. They had that Sierra Nevada on tap over there.
That was back in the day
before everybody was drinking the IPAs.
Now
everywhere you go is an IPA. But I used to like that about Warm Daddy's.
It's funny you mention that, because I worked around the corner from there in the kitchen at this place that was one of the first like microbrew. It was like, you know, restaurant with like 60 micro beers on tap, was like the booming new thing. Called Jake and Oliver's, and that was, you know, around that time too when I was playing at Warm Daddy's, as a matter of fact.
That
place, it was almost like you were transformed into like New Orleans, you know. You walk from Old City Philadelphia and then through the doors. You know, in the summertime, the air conditioning would be like hot in there. You remember, so like wouldn't work and things like that. But you know, we talked a little bit, and I know that, you know, you've always had a fondness for the blues for you. That was the music that influenced you the most.
Yeah, I would always hear it, and like we were talking about earlier before the cameras were rolling, we were talking about Cypress Hill and some of those bands from the 90s. Uh-huh. And I would hear samples of blues in that, and I would latch on and be like, what was that? You know, before you could just go on the internet and and type something up and find out what it was. I didn't even know what the blues was.
Right.
I knew of rap music and rock and roll and stuff like that, but I hadn't been exposed to it. Then I got into Pink Floyd heavy and found out that they got their name from two blues guys, Pink Anderson and Floyd Dixon. And I said, well, what blues guys? What's the blues? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I started playing harmonica. Mm-hmm. And my dad got me a Sonny Boy Williamson tape and a Stevie Ray Vaughan tape. Mm-hmm. And a B.B. King tape. Like, he found out that I was, and he was like, oh, here, listen to this stuff. And
so he was a fan too. He was a blues fan.
Yeah, my dad's a fan of all music, just like I am. Like, I love all music. I mean, you know, I can listen to Rage Against the Machine, go to Wu-Tang Clan, and then go to Sonny Boy Williamson very easily. And then I can go listen to that new chick, Lana Del Rey, or we were talking about that guy, Citizen Cope. I love all music. My right. wife keeps me a little bit more in tune to what's going on nowadays with music, because mm-hmm. she'll be listening to something. And she's a music head too. So I'm like, oh, what's that? You know? Mm-hmm. So we like a lot of that stuff. Like, she got me into Florence and the Machine back in the day. She got me into Adele before Adele was even really, really famous. She was an Adele fan. And then Adele just blew up. But I love all music. But yeah, the blues always got me. And then when I was able to actually contribute something like the harmonica, just so happens I picked up the harmonica. Mm. So then I really got geared to the blues, because then that was all I could contribute. That was what I could contribute, was the harmonica. So I was like, you know, then I heard that Sonny Boy Williamson, and then it was off to the races. I was trying to learn everything, you know, I could learn mm-hmm. from different blues artists and, you know, tapes and CDs and stuff. But my dad is a musician. That's why I go by Mikey Jr.
Okay.
And, you know, he took me to my first concert, 1984, Trenton War Memorial Building, to see James Brown.
Whoa. And
my second concert was a year later at what was called City Gardens in Trenton, New Jersey, and it was Devo. So those were my first two concerts.
Wow.
Which kind of defined my music taste, or just whatever, you know, I love it all.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, Devo was awesome, because like they were like in the, you know, in the height of, you know, like they're like, I guess I don't know what where their stardom was or whatever, but City Gardens was a smaller club, but these guys came right through the crowd holding each other, like through the crowd
to come to the show.
Yes.
Oh,
and it was moshing and it was insane. I just remember this guy had this big mohawk, and at the end of the night is just, he had blood all over his face from moshing. And yeah, I remember my dad saying like, oh, to tell me something about how loud the sound, like the sound was really loud. It's like futuristic. They had some futuristic sound that was really loud. So many decibels or something, you know, or something. I remember about that.
Uh-huh.
I remember that was the latest I ever stayed up. Like with my dad was like, when we got home from the Devo show, it was like 3:30 in the morning or something. We
went
to eat afterwards.
Uh-huh.
It was a good time. The Devo show was cool. But yeah, man, I love the blues, and you know, I remember, you know, playing the fishing blues, do that fishing blues back. Mm-hmm. That was the Warm Daddy's days, and I remember you sent me a recording of you playing that.
Oh,
that fishing blues.
Interesting.
I still have it on my computer.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got. Wow. I got it, man.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I love that sound, man. You know, for me, it was probably more so the exposure to Allman Brothers, some Zeppelin, some Creedence was a band I liked a lot.
Yeah. Oh, talk about the best blues rock ever. Creedence and Zeppelin. Like, you know, a lot of these, you got a lot of blues rock bands coming out nowadays. But the thing is like, Creedence and Zeppelin did it really, really good, you know. So, you know, I mean, I don't like to put any kind of music down or whatever, but like, you know, that was way back in the day and they were hitting it like that, you know. And you know what I just got hip to right before a couple years ago, my guitar player, Matt Daniels, he hipped me to the early Jeff Beck stuff.
Oh, yeah.
With Rod Stewart singing. I think it's Beckola and all that.
Okay.
And as a guitar fan for me, you know, I was like, oh, wow, listen to Jeff Beck doing that. Like, who's the guitar player from Rage Against the Machine? Tom Morello.
Tom Morello.
And I was like, look, that Jeff Beck was doing that Tom Morello shit back in the day,
right?
In the 60s, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, you know, so like when you go to that blues rock, like, you know, that's, it was there. So that's why, like, you know, I love all music. I love blues rock. I love my blues rock, and I love all that. But I really love the traditional blues, man. You know, like, totally. I'm really into that traditional blues because, you know, that blues rock has been done a long time ago. And the blues is just, you know, that traditional blues that stays right there. It's just what I prefer in my work, like in my little thing.
You know? I know that. All I was trying to say was that that music is what brought me back to the blues, because at one point or another I wanted to be like, you know, like, who were they listening to?
Yeah.
Where did this music come from? And that's how I found the blues, you know.
Yeah, and you go back to, you know, Led Zeppelin getting all them songs off of Willie Dixon, you know.
Totally.
All that.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, man.
Or like for me with the Grateful Dead, you know, because some, I'll be honest, I mean, you know, some bands you hear and immediately, or solo artists, you just get them right away, like, wow, this is great. I was exposed to some of the live shows, and it took a little while. They kind of took a while to grow on me, and then once I got it, I really did fall in love with their sound.
The Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
I love the Grateful Dead, too, and I didn't fall in love with their stuff until later on in my life. I always had a lot of friends that were hippies that were like, yeah, I'd say hippies, but like, you know, they would listen to these live noodling shows, and I was never into it, never.
Right.
And then I heard the Dave Grisman, Jerry Garcia.
Love that stuff. Yeah, Shady Grove
and
or
so
Pizza Tapes.
I got really into that.
Love
really
that.
Heavy into that.
Yep.
And then, you know, kind of started, you know, going to the shows with when John Mayer joined up with the
I saw you company. There. That's right.
Yeah, my wife and her family were always big Deadhead fans.
Yeah.
Dead fans.
Uh-huh.
And so we started going to those shows, and I became more of a fan of the Grateful Dead from just, you know, kind of,
okay,
you know, going to those shows.
Since John Mayer's joined the band.
Well, I guess, yeah, I started getting into him a little bit before he joined the band, but, like, he was the icing on the cake because, believe it or not, like I said earlier, I love all music.
Uh-huh.
My first guitar player and my friend, who I have to mention in this podcast, my friend Danny DeGennaro, who's on a record with Jerry Garcia, Sundown on the Forest, in that band Kingfish, which was Bob Weir's band, and Danny took me under his wing and, you know, really helped me produce my first two CDs. I love him dearly. Uh-huh. And he got, you know, so I kind of got into a little bit of the Dead with him. I kind of lost my train of thought.
Danny got you into the Dead a bit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Danny. Right. Oh, so Danny told me when I was working with him on my first record, told me about this kid, John Mayer. And I was like, you mean your body is the Wonderland kid? And he's like, he's like, you got to listen to his record. Like, that's his song. And
right.
You got to listen to his stuff. And I got into him there.
It was like,
you know, and Danny kind of opened the doors for me to get into John Mayer. And then so all those years went by. I've been a John Mayer fan all these years. Then he joins the
Dead. Right, okay, got you.
And then I'm like, wow. And then I was, you know, at that first show in Philly, where all my friends who've been Deadheads the whole time were like, well, I don't know about this job, man. I don't know. And then after the show, they were like, he was awesome.
Right.
It was amazing. And then, of course, my wife, who's the sweetest person in the world, came up with a great hypothesis about it. She was just like, well, isn't it like Dead fans to just accept totally anybody to, like, you know, like, such, when you go to one of them shows, it's such a great experience because, you know, it's just love and peace and understanding and just great vibes. I've never seen any kind of weirdness at a Dead show. And, you know, I just always thought it was just, you know, really cool. And, you know, when my wife said that, like, well, isn't it just like Dead fans to kind of accept anybody?
Well,
except
the
pop guy.
There were definitely some critics of the
decision.
There were
some skeptics.
All
the feedback that I heard from, like, my little circle was that they loved John Mayer.
I thought and think that he's done a great job.
Yeah, he really studied the music.
He did.
I mean,
not only playing, because I don't think he really was into them or knew any of their music prior to getting the gig, you know what I mean? So for me, some of the question was how he would connect vocally with some of the songs.
Yeah.
And I felt like he's done a really good job with that, too.
Yeah, man. In his latest, his album right before he got the gig, I was kind of like talking to my wife, and I was like, listen to him doing that Jerry noodling. You know, because I call it Jerry noodling.
Right, right.
Sorry, everybody. You know, but because I do love Jerry.
But, well, this is the thing. I know what you mean when you say that, but yeah, you can hear his sound and know it's him right away.
Correct. Absolutely.
And that's everything.
And I'm way more into it now. Like, I'm into it now, whereas I would, that's my, you know, my old way of thinking when I'm like, oh, the Jerry noodling.
Right.
But I'm into it now. Like, I really enjoy the Grateful Dead now. You know, there's music that has to grow on you, and you, if you're not changing, what are we doing? And if you ain't also progressing and getting better at things and changing your way, like, what are, you know, so I've always been open-minded, and a lot of times, like, first, for instance, Robert Johnson. Love Robert Johnson. Uh-huh. When I first got a tape of Robert Johnson, I was like, what is...
Yeah,
I'm not into that.
Right, it's kind
of, you know, and then
right,
you give it maybe like 10 years later, I was like, oh, Robert Johnson. Oh, whoa, here we go. What was I missing this whole time?
Right.
Like, you know, like I didn't, because of the sound quality recording, whatever. Like,
totally.
When I finally got it, I got that remastered thing on CD, the 27 songs.
I had that, yeah.
And
sure,
I was like, whoa, you know, and I would just was
haunting.
Yeah,
it's haunting.
Just loving that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, so I always, my music, you know, something that I'm not in, I never throw any music out, man, because something that I'm not into now, you know, I might be into later. So if I get something, you know, I might not be into it, but I'll put it on the shelf and then maybe come back to it, you know, like, you know, so.
Yeah. But, you know who's buried not far from here? I visited his grave. It's kind of crazy that he ended up in Ballykinwood, but Skip James.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sister Rosetta Tharpe is buried around here, too.
I think she had some Philly ties.
Yeah,
right?
I think she's buried around in Lower Mary, Upper Mary, something like that. I don't know.
I didn't
if
know
y'all
that.
Know in the comments, let us know.
I didn't know, but that she's amazing. I went, Bessie Smith is in Delaware County. And
maybe that's what I'm thinking.
She's in Sharon Hill, I think. And I believe the story was Janis Joplin paid for her stone. That's,
oh, wow,
there.
Wow.
I visited that one too. But yeah, we were talking about it. Like some of the early, you know, those guys like Mississippi John Hurt and Reverend Gary Davis, to me, like I said to you, I'm like, in a lot of ways, it doesn't get any better, you know, because they, Rev was blind. That's just insane, you know. But then on top of it, the way that they created their own sound, like they weren't able to go, oh, let me listen to this guy. I mean, they heard some stuff on the radio, but they really invented their own thing.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. I love that guitar picking stuff. I like I was telling you, I got those. If you guys are listening and into that type of stuff that he's talking about, there are these DVDs or these performances from the American Folk Blues Festival in 1960s, something like that. But, you know, Reverend Gary Davis, Mississippi John Hurt, Sleepy John Essies, and like all kinds of people are on these, you know, and they're doing 20, 30 minute sets. And it's really cool. It's really good stuff. Really good guitar stuff. Country blues guitar is what it's called.
Okay.
Just came to me. It's called country blues guitar. Black and white footage, you know. Really, really older footage. Yeah. Really good stuff. Really quality sound, but old footage, and it's really good.
I used to have on CD, like, it was like the Smithsonian Plantation recordings of Muddy Waters. And
oh,
it
yeah.
was really deep, man, because the guy's like, you know, interviewing him a little bit in between, and, you know, it's before he moved to Chicago. It was like down in Mississippi.
Oh, I think I have that somewhere. I used to, you know, when I first got into, you know, the blues and stuff, if I liked an artist, I would go buy all of it. I would go to what's called, we had a place called Positively Records, and I would buy all the CDs, you know, and I would get them all. And I have so much money, because it's just, you know, I'm a harmonica player, and his lead instrument was the harmonica. So I love Muddy.
Right.
Always love that stuff.
But that guy that was interviewing him, I believe his name's Alan Lomax.
Yeah, Alan Lomax recordings.
He was like a hippie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty much. I mean, the hippies kind of like brought a lot of notoriety to the blues guys.
Yeah, yeah. The folk thing came back, and then all of a sudden the blues guys were getting a lot of work.
Right. So
I'm hoping that happens later on in 2033. You know what I mean?
Me too, man. That's what I love, that you keep the blues alive. But the, you know what I was saying in terms of the Grateful Dead with me, and I think it's, you know, I love all music too, but I do love music that doesn't have to be blues by any means, but it has to kind of have some of that element in there personally, you know. Mm-hmm. I do like soulful music, and for the Grateful Dead, what I was starting to say, it took some time to grow on me, but part of the, you know, big part of the reason what sucked me in was Pigpen.
Oh, cool.
Who was their harmonica player. Yeah, yeah. And he had a really soulful voice. Really soulful voice. So, you know, the difference was he was, you know, they started as a blues band, but they just, you know, expanded on those long jams.
Yeah, like that Shake It Sugary. They got the inspiration of that from that Elizabeth Compton song, you know.
Right.
They just played it on XBM. Actually, they played it on XBM. And I was listening, and they played an Elizabeth Cotton song. They played that, but it wasn't her doing it. It was a young lady doing, I forget her name, but she was covering that, you know.
Sugary.
Didn't I Shake Sugary, Everything I Got's in Pawn. They played that. Okay. And then right after they played that song, they played the Grateful Dead doing Shake It.
The other version's a lot different, right? Isn't it, or no?
No, Grateful Dead wrote a song, but they said Shake It, Sugary. But Elizabeth Cotton's, it's not the same thing. They just wrote a song, and the hook of the song is Shake It, Sugary.
That, yeah,
whereas
yeah.
Elizabeth Cotton is didn't I Shake Sugary, and Everything I Got's in Pawn. You know, oh, Lord, oh, me, didn't I Shake Sugary, Everything I Got's in Pawn.
Got it.
It's one of them guitar picking finger things that I'm sure Jerry was into. So I can only assume. I can only make an assumption with the Dead fans that might be listening or watching, that they got that inspiration from that Elizabeth Cotton song because of that.
Yeah.
And you want to hear a real funny Grateful Dead story about me. You know, I just, for years, I loved that one song, The Dew or whatever. You know,
Franklin's Tower.
Well, yeah, but what's the lyric though?
Roll Away the Dew.
Roll Away the Dew.
Yeah.
My whole life. So I was singing Roll Away With You. Just like the Phil Collins song, I Can Feel It Coming In The Air Tonight.
Uh-huh.
And he says, oh, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
But my whole life it was, hold on.
Oh, yeah?
My whole life, bro. My whole life. It's just ruined for me, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute. I look it up. And I'm like, oh, it's, oh, Lord, but with an English accent, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, with the Grateful Dead, I think maybe my wife caught me singing along to it one day, and she's like, it's Roll Away the Dew. And I'm like, the dew? Why? You know, I just did, yeah. But that's my funny Grateful Dead story, man.
That is funny. So you got, you know, one thing that you've been doing, I think you still do, that's pretty cool. A lot of people don't know about is like, you know, that Blues Society thing.
Oh yeah,
or not the Blues Society, but like the dances. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, the blues dances. Yeah,
right.
That's for me. I've toured a lot. I haven't toured the whole entire country. I haven't toured the whole entire world, but I can say that in America, the only really place that I've seen young people willingly, like, the only time I've seen young people, like, into the blues where, like, we're doing an old blues number from the 50s and these kids are singing along.
Right.
And they're in their 20s and they're in, you know.
It's crazy. You know, yeah.
And it's at these blues dances where they like to dance to the blues and they want you to play slow blues and groove type blues, like no like fast shuffles. I mean, they'll like a fast shuffle from here and there, you know, but really mostly like, you know, really grinding blues, man. And
so
those blues dances are really cool. And if you just, you know, anywhere you are in the country, if you just kind of look up blues dancing, there's these groups that have it. Like, for instance, our Philadelphia areas. Powerhouse Blues is one of them. And then there's Indigo Blues that is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And these, they all have Facebook pages and maybe websites. And for instance, Sweet Molasses Blues is in Boston.
So anyone can go.
Anyone can go.
You just find out and pay at the door.
And, mm-hmm. and you go in and you dance. And there's no, you know, you can bring alcohol if you want, but there, it's not even an alcohol type thing, you know? Like,
these I've been the one. Yeah, I went to really with cool. Josh Fialkoff.
Oh, yeah, I love Josh.
Oh, man. Great guy. He's unbelievable.
He got me into it. He got me into doing the
You told me, things. Yeah. Right, and, right. But I walked into this building on Spring Garden, this beautiful old building. It was like the German Society. Yeah.
What a great place to do a show. That ballroom is so beautiful.
Big ballroom.
Sounds so good in there.
And they had like Otis Spahn playing.
You should do a show there.
Yeah.
With Steal Your Peach, because that place has the best sound.
Oh.
I mean, you bring your own, you'll have to bring your own sound, but what I mean is like, it just sounds so nice. It's a beautiful, beautiful sounding room. It's a beautiful room. They have that balcony up top.
But I'm just saying that just the spectacle to walk in and see these people like dancing to Otis Spahn, like you say, in their 20s.
Yeah.
Just really into it. And
they know the music, you know. They'll say, hey, can you play this? And I'm like, absolutely, I could love to.
Thank you, you know, because
a lot of times I will have to win over my audience with what I call pop blues, you know, like I will have to go, all right, we'll hear some, like, you know, I'll do, you know, I'm not one of these kind of blues purists that won't play Mustang Sally. I love that song.
Right.
It's all good. Uh-huh. People will get up and dance to that, and then I'll go into a Freddie King funk. And then now they're getting it. Now they're listening. But people like to, you know, have something familiar in there, you know? And if you don't play a club that is a blues club, like the Twisted Tail, but if you just play some bar somewhere.
I want to hear something.
You have to get, you know, you might have to do Valerie by, Amy Winehouse or, you know, so they might want you to do Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, and I'll do that stuff because I love all music, so I'll do that.
Right.
But when a blues dancer comes up and says, can you play, you know, Jimmy Reed, I Found True Love? And I'm like,
I'd
love to, you know.
Uh-huh, totally.
And, you know, everybody gets real dressed up, and like I said, there's no, like at a bar, there's drinking and there's, you know, there's like arguments or whatever. Like in a bar, it's just like it's like more of a drinking setting, you know. And then you go to a dance like this, and it's like you're stepping back in time to when people were drinking soda pop and going to a dance. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so I kind of really like it, and it's been great for me. And they tip, the dancers are appreciative. They'll tip you and do your Venmo and all that. And yes, the single most thing that I've seen. And I met them, a lot of these dancers, at my blues jam on Sunday at the Twisted Tail. That's where I met Joshua Fialkoff.
Right.
And that's where the blues dancing kind of came. I'm like, wow, these kids dance really well. And they're like, it's blues dancing. And I met a friend, Greg, my friend Greg Avakian. He's one of the instructors, and he gives the lessons. Because at a typical blues dance, they'll always give a lesson beforehand for those people that's never been there or never danced
before. Oh, that's cool.
So it's very inclusive. So there'll be a lesson. I'm doing one this Friday in New York City. I'm sorry, this Saturday, the 18th.
Okay.
In New York City. And there's a dance. We play for an hour. There's a lesson. We play for an hour. Then there's a competition where they'll DJ. So they'll play, you know, a Muddy Waters tune for them to DJ to. You know, they'll DJ, and then people will come out to their dances.
Okay.
Because when you're dancing to a live band, there's liveness happening. That guy might take, you might go around twice on the guitar, and he might go around. But when you have a routine, and you're dancing, and you have a routine, you practice it to that song, and that song's exactly that time. So you know that when this lick comes, she's getting dipped down, or you're doing something.
Sure.
So they DJ the competition.
Got it.
You know, and so that's always a fun thing to see, because then, you know, I'm taking a break and I'm like watching the competition. It'll be, you know, couples come in, and then they'll introduce another couple, and it's a real inclusive and really cool thing. And everybody's always making sure that everybody is safe, because also, you know, it's intimate and you're dancing, you know, and you know, so everybody makes sure that there's no, you know, some guy that might show up and try to, you know, grope on someone. You know what I mean? So right. Everybody's really...
I got you. Got
everybody's
you.
Really cool and really aware of, you know, that you know, there's a dance happening. And, you know, and also what they say, too, is like a little thing that the guy hipped me to is like, you know, you don't want the long songs during the dance because they also... It's about dancing with numerous partners throughout the evening. So you don't want to have this long song. You don't really say no to people. Like, you know, it's not like you shouldn't say no to people, but like, you know, you want to make people feel good. And so if someone asks you to dance and they're not the best, you don't want to have an 8-minute song with them. You know what I'm saying? You. So right. These dancers right. have hit me to that. I'm like, let me know what you guys like because okay. I like doing these dances.
Right, sure.
Let me know what you guys like. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, we like, you know, shorter songs. So that, you know, we can grab another partner mm-hmm. or, you know, and even if you're having a great time with that partner, mm-hmm. you know, don't leave you wanting more, you know, and then maybe you come back and dance with that partner again or mm-hmm. or what have you. But, yeah, I've been Joshua Fialkoff flew me into Minnesota to do one of these blues dances.
Okay.
They're all over the country. And these kids travel all over the country.
Aren't they even in other countries, too? Or
oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
You know, then they have those, you know, and then, of course... You might get some of these blues dancers that come to the blues dance, but they're really Lindy Hop dancers and really want that, like, Hell's a Poppin'. I don't know if you have ever seen a show from back in the day called Hell's a Poppin', but it's like a famous swing dance show.
Okay.
And it's got some really cool swing dance numbers of, like, you know, choreographed dancing that's, like, pretty badass, you know, where they're swinging the girls around and the guys are jumping around. And it's a cool thing to check out. It's probably on YouTube. It's called Hell's a Poppin'. But then you have those, you know, those West Coast swing dancers, Lindy Hop dancers. And so there's all these different groups, but blues dancing means blues dancing and they want that, you know, you know, they want that.
Yeah.
Real, real groove type stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice he left me. The dog left.
No,
Midas, yeah. What you doing? You're hanging out with me for the interview. What happened?
He needs some space, I guess. Don't take it personally. Oh, poor guy.
Oh, he's a good boy.
So, the Mikey Jr. Band has a lot going on these days, right?
Yeah. I'm back. We're back to work. I'm super excited. Come on, bud. Come back.
Go ahead, buddy.
I'm back to work. I'm super. I moved the guitar. But yeah, back to work, super excited. I just put out a new record called Blues in the Barn.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, it's a long story, but it's a long dream come true. I met this guy a long time ago. I'll give you the short version of the story. Met this guy a long time ago on break at a gig, and he was like, I got a, you know, got a farm, and I got like a cabin, and I got a barn with a musical equipment.
Mm-hmm.
People usually come by and hang out after the show sometimes right. here.
Okay.
So I went over and hung out with him, and then every time I did a show at this particular club, we would go back to his place afterwards with the band and play and hang out,
oh.
jump on the golf carts and ride around his farm. And just, it was just really cool place. He's got a tree house that he built.
Uh-huh.
It's right where the river, you know, cuts out the mountain. And
in what area again?
So it's in New Jersey. Oh. So if it's Riegelsville, Pennsylvania was the place I would work at. And across the river from the Riegelsville Inn, I don't know, it's on the CDs, the actual town, I forget.
I follow you. Okay. So it's right near Riegelsville, PA.
Yeah. Gotcha. Like it's with the mystique of the mountain. Like you go over the Riegelsville Bridge, you make a left until you come to a big, huge rock, and then you make a right, and he's the top house at the top of the mountain.
Nice.
So, like, I don't know where it is. I just know where it is.
Right.
So, you know, but I think Summer, I don't know what it's called.
No, I know the town, but I don't even know where Riegelsville, PA is. But nonetheless, I love places like that, man. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's so cool, and he plays harmonica and sings and stuff, and so I did that Bucks County Blues Festival, which we're doing again this year, July 15th, bucksbluesfest.com.
Snipes Farm, right?
Snipes Farm, baby, right where he plays too with the Snipes Farm.
That's right.
So that's July 15th, bucksbluesfest.com. I'm giving away free T-shirts with pre-ticket sales. So
the tickets
go on sale on April 3rd. And with the $35 ticket price, you get a free t-shirt that you can either pick up at one of my shows leading up to the festival or get at the festival that day.
Okay.
And it's a, you know, it's a, we got over 60 musicians coming to do the show this year.
You know, George there is a harmonica player.
Yeah, George Price, a harmonica player. Yeah, he used to come and see me when Danny DeGeneres was in the band and
sit in
with us. I go way back with George too.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
And so the Bucks County Blues Society decided not to do their picnic anymore. It was called the Bucks County Blues Picnic.
Okay.
And Alex Hasty, who it was the brainchild of Alex Hasty and Tom Cullen. We lost Alex a couple years ago now. Jeez, time flies. About a year and a half ago or something like that. We lost Alex. He passed away. So they said, we're not going to do the picnic anymore. And I said, well, you know, I get that. But I think that, you know, I would love to like do something at Snipes and, you know, maybe not call it a picnic, maybe like the Bucks County Blues Festival. And my friend Tom Cullen was like, I think that's a great idea and we'll help you and let you know all of our knowledge. And those guys have been a big help to me because it's not actually run by the Bucks County Blues Society. It's run by my entertainment company, 8th Train Music. I'm a member of the Bucks County Blues Society. I have been for a very long time. And when Alex passed away, I took his spot as the vice president. So technically, I'm the vice president of the Bucks County Blues Society. But the Bucks County Blues Festival doesn't have anything to do with the Bucks County Blues Society. I just had their blessing to kind of take over their show and call it a festival instead of a picnic.
Okay.
And they've been very supportive of it and, you know, attended last year and they'll be there again this year. We'll be doing a membership drive for the Bucks County Blues Society at the Bucks County Blues Festival, getting some new members to sign up. And, you know, that's what it's all about. We're trying to appeal to the young crowd. We've got killer blues rock group Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen coming in from Wilkes-Barre. Miss Freddie coming in from Pittsburgh. Also coming in from Pittsburgh is a killer blues rock guitar player, my friend Billy from Billy the Kid and the Regulators. And then I'm doing something like a tri-state kind of blues review, I guess I'm going to call it, where like it's me, Roger Gerk, and Mike Goulden, and Mark Margulies, and Deb Callahan's going to come do a song. We're going to get Georgie to come do a song. Because what I'm doing is I'm not having any music being played during the breaks. So when the band gets done, there's a little, and there's not a different stage. It's on the same stage, but I have a little side on the side of the stage where we're going to do acoustic acts like the Bucks, like, you know, Tri-State Blues Review. So, like, Deb's going to come sing two or three songs.
Nice.
Georgie's going to sing one or two songs.
In between the main
stage. Yeah, so, like, as soon as that main stage kicks off, you're still on the main stage. But last year I had my friend Brian Elliott do each and every one.
Mm-hmm. Brian.
And I was going to have Brian. Great. I love Brian.
Yeah.
I was telling Brian, says hello. He's like, oh, I love Mark. I'm doing a record with Brian. We just booked some studio time, and I'm going to produce a record for him. He's going to do like a solo acoustic thing.
Wow.
Well, what he does, and you know, it's probably too early to start talking about it, but but I'm going to be working with him, and he's probably going to put it out on my 8th Train Records label.
Okay.
But this year, people were like, yeah, I'd love to be a part of that festival, and I was like, well, I don't have any room, but what if you want to come do a couple songs, you know, I can give you some money and, you know, we could do a couple songs and, you know,
okay,
and people will be a part of it, you know. And then I had Dustin Douglas was like, hey man, it rained last year when I was playing and it got my set cut short and I got a new record coming out, maybe I could come back to the festival. And I was like, yes, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, you know, it did. And now you got the new record. And then Max Kaplan and the Magics from Memphis, Tennessee, they're coming back, they got a new record. So I already like overextended and have all these musicians, but it's going to be great and it'll be a good time. Mm-hmm. We're going to be tight on time, but we're going to make sure everybody gets a chance and gets to play. But yeah, that's the Bucks County Blues Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I got my record coming out with the blues. We've got lost track. You were asking me about my record, Blues in the Barn.
Yeah.
that just came out. I'm doing a radio campaign for it with Todd Glazer. Johnny Meister's been playing it on 88.5 XPN and mentioning that I have the record release party at the Sellersville Theater on March 25th. So the Sellersville Theater, March 25th. Tickets are on sale. I think we already sold over like 170 tickets.
Sweet.
So we got it more than half sold. So we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I got that show coming up right in around the corner at Sherry Punjab. Yeah, Sherry Punjab on the 14th of April.
I know. So Push Pinder's probably watching right now.
Is Push watching, my man?
Yeah.
I love that place, man. What a great place to go to a show. What a great place to eat. What a great place to bring your family for a show. It's family owned. It's one of my favorite places to play down there in media. So yeah, man. And that's April 14th. I'm gonna be at the Punjab Live on the shirt right there. He's got the shirt.
Right. There it is.
You can catch me at the Twisted Tail on Wednesdays from 6 to 10 with my buddy Filthy Rich.
Okay.
On guitar.
And then a lot of people don't know about the Sunday Blues Jam.
And yeah, every Sunday for the past, since we've been open at the Twisted Tail since 2011, we've run the Blues Jam every Sunday from 5 to 9. Yep. We're there on Mother's Day. Where every woman in my life is mad at me on Mother's Day, but I'm there at the jam, so come see me.
And there's nothing like it in Philadelphia in terms of just a blues jam to show up and sign up with some good players. So, you know, definitely come out.
Yeah, yeah. Every Sunday. We're there on Easter Sunday. That's coming up.
Oh.
So we'll be there Easter Sunday.
Man.
The only Sunday I'm not there is if Christmas or something falls on a Sunday.
Okay.
But we're there every Sunday. If it's like Father's Day, I'm there. Mother's Day, I'm there. Easter Sunday, I'm there. We're there, man.
That's part of the deal,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I love it. I mean, I love my Sundays and all, but, you know, when that pandemic hit and it wasn't, and you didn't have nothing going on, I'm sure I missed them Sundays. You sure miss them Wednesdays and miss everything.
Sure.
You know, it is a Sunday, so, I mean, I don't know. It's just always been on Sunday, you know. But, I love it. I really love it. I met so many people and so many characters and just a lot of really cool things at that jam. You know, met a lot of people in the
Saul,
Twisted Tail.
Remember our buddy Saul?
Saul Urban.
Yeah.
And I remember I was messing his name up. I was calling, the first time he came to the gym, I was calling him Saul. And
sure.
Somebody came up to me and was like, he's not an 80-year-old Jewish guy. He's from Mexico.
Totally. Saul. Right. That's how it's spelled. So, yeah, I get it.
Man.
I hope Saul. He's watching. He should be. Yeah, but that's funny. Saul, he's not an 80-year-old Jewish guy.
Yeah. Saul. It was like 2 days. I mean, like, literally for like two or three jams, he didn't correct me. And then someone else was like, yo, man, he's not in here. I was like, that's funny, man. But yeah, a lot of good people. You know who came out the other day, last night to the jam? Jazz. Cool Jazz.
Oh, man. I've known him a long time.
He's been stopping out with this guy named Kevin Diggs, who's got a great voice. He just got back from living in Paris, France for the last like 30 years.
Okay.
And I think he's around, he might be around Jazz's age, but those two guys came out and just give you just a lesson in the blues and singing. And
okay.
Jazz just sounds so good. His chording and how he plays is just that old style of, you know, it's just so cool. And you know, and a lot of times we don't know the song All of Me, but you know, sometimes he'll just play that by himself. And just, you know, that old jazzy type stuff.
Yeah.
Just so good, man.
Joe Becton used to come with, they were like tight.
I love Joe Becton.
Yeah.
Joe Becton is having a tough time right now because he's got a diabetic, like, blindness going on.
Oh, man.
And, so keep Joe Becton in your prayers. I love Joe Becton. And last time I seen him, he was in a rough way. And he was like, you know, he came to the jam. And he walked himself up, and he came over and talked to me. He's like, "Yeah, I can hardly see." You know,
he told me when he played,
and it was great to see him. I get a Christmas card from him every year, him and his wife were great people, and you know, so but yeah,
Those who may have seen Joe, he's been he's a guest of Steal Your Peach more than once, or once old soul revival at the Ardmore Music Hall, and he actually sat in with us when we had Ron Holloway as a guest a couple years ago.
Boy, that guy's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, right.
I tell you, boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. You noticed that right away. Actually, first place I met him was the Main Point, or the Point in Bryn Mawr. He was doing an acoustic thing. It was amazing. Really good, man.
Yeah, man.
That's terrible.
And he does the Civil War reenactments, you know. He does, and he gives tours around Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, he's a historian.
I know.
Such a brilliant person, too, man. Not only is he a great musician, but he's very knowledgeable and can, like, you know, tell you a lot about history.
He's an educator.
Yeah, for sure. Educator, storyteller. Yeah, man.
So, man, you know, it's been a great time having you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for you know, thinking on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you for having me on. This has been great, man.
So, yeah, I thought we'd go off with, like, maybe a blues tune or two, if you want to do
that. Hell yeah, I'd love to.
I think we ought to do that. You said you had something for
me. If Midas will let me.
What do you think about that?
I gave him a test on the harmonica. I gave him the good old... You don't bark, we're good. You know, some dogs don't like that high end. They don't like that sound.
Yeah, he doesn't like electric, but I think he'd be all right with anything that's acoustic.
Well, we'll keep it nice and low for you, big boy. It's a crying shame. Yeah, my baby's gone. Hey, Midas, you know, it's a crying shame. Ever since she been gone, my life just don't feel the same. Since she been gone, Midas, my life don't feel the same. Yeah. Thanks for letting me play a while, Midas. Thank you, baby.
The blues is all right. We will see you Friday at the Ardmore Music Hall. Check out Mikey Jr., Bucks County Blues Festival. And we'll see you next Monday night at 7. I don't know the guests, but I'll let you know soon enough. You all have a good one, all right?
I'll come back. I'll come back next week.
Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. As always, all episodes are brought to you by my business, ilovemarksinger.com. I'm also a realtor. If anyone out there should have any questions about buying or listing their home for sale, please don't hesitate to reach out. Next week's show, we have Jesse Lundy of Point Entertainment and local songwriter Hezekiah Jones. Very much looking forward to that one. Every Monday at 7 p.m., we'll see you here at Mainline and Beyond with Mark Singer. Thanks again.